Hello, and welcome to the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. Whether you're exploring faith, new to faith, or actively following Jesus, we're so glad you're tuning in, and we hope that these weekly messages will encourage, challenge, and inspire you. Life is not meant to be done alone, and our hope is that these messages will lead you into a new and thriving life in Christ. Now let's listen to this message from our lead pastor, Jim Comfort.
Oh, there she is. Sweet little thing making a big mess. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe you're thinking, hey, Jim, that happened to our family just this last week. Our kids can make a mess. Some of you are thinking, that kind of resembles my life, right? I have messed up in places. I have embarrassed myself, or I've got a lot of splatter in other places around me. Well, we are discovering that life can be messy. And the next couple of weeks, we are entering into a new series called Messy. We know even following Christ can be messy. Jesus got messy himself. But a lot of times we realize that life is messy. People are messy. Can I give an amen? Right? Families can be messy. Work environments, our mind, our mouth, how we interact with people, it can be messy. So I'm looking forward to it. And welcome to Faithbrook this morning. If you're watching online, good to have you as we enter into March here at Faithbrook. Now, one of the biggest messes is kind of one of the best messy issues is we are messy, right? We like to pretend and think we have it all together, but a lot of times we don't have it all together and we can mess up big time. One of my favorite stories is a good friend of mine that I grew up with. He was a really cool guy. He's kind of put together, but one day he really screwed up. It was coming out of college. He got this job in this office. And they kind of had this office environment. If you can picture the TV show, The Office, right? There were some friends and colleagues, right? Well, the company wanted to upgrade their phone system. So they hired this company to come in and take out the old phone systems and install the new phones and wiring and all that kind of stuff. Well, as these techs came in there and started moving things, he's like, man, I'm kind of in the way. I'm just going to get out of the way and go to the break room. So he goes to the break room, stays there for a little bit, comes back in this office environment, and he doesn't see any of the techs there. And he says, man, did you see that one tech? And he made this obnoxious comment about her appearance, right? He's like, ha ha. All of a sudden, the tech lady was under the desk. Her face pops up, man. They go eye to eye. He says, Jim, it was one of the most embarrassing moments in my life. I turned white as a sheet. I was so embarrassed. I just turned around, walked out, went right through the front doors, got in my car, and went home, man. I was done. I just stepped in it completely. Now, I've been laughing at that for 30 years, right? Because he stepped in and I didn't. But the truth of the matter, I've stepped in it too, right? I have messed up a lot of times with my mouth, with my actions, things maybe I didn't do or should have done, man. And before we know it, life can get all complicated and messed up, including ourselves. We start realizing, man, we don't have it all together. We're not very perfect. And to think you're perfect, just ask your family members or coworkers, right? And you just ask my families and my kids and wife. You know, yes, Jim doesn't always have it together. He can be a mess. And the truth of the matter is we're all kind of messed up to some degree. We all have some brokenness and failures and some hurts and abuses and problems. And a lot of times it's just kind of garbled up on how we view ourselves and how we navigate through life. So I'm praying, thinking about this series of messy. I'm waking up, I'm watching one of the morning news, and this person says, hey, we got this singer coming on in a little bit, and she's going to sing a song called Beautifully Messy. Beautifully Messy. I'm like, wow, I've never heard a song like that. And kind of goes along with my sermon. Her name is Hillary Scott. She's a country pop kind of Christian singer. And she's going to be on national TV. And so I'm listening in to what she sings. And she's singing this song about beautifully messy. And the verse goes like this. Are you spinning in a lie that keeps on telling you that you're not good enough? When you're looking in the mirror, do you see someone impossible to love? Full of fragile, broken pieces? We're all rough around the edges. We ain't perfect. No, we're not even close. We got holes in our hearts. We got scars we don't show. But all that baggage we keep dragging around. So do you think Hillary Scott has a point? That secretly, privately, we're dragging around a lot of mental anguish? And so what do we do with our messy self? How do we navigate it? Are there any helps? What does God think about our messiness? Does he see it beautifully? And can he make something beautiful out of our brokenness and our mess? Well, this morning, I want to give you three reminders to help us navigate our messy self. Three reminders that help give us some perspective to navigate our messy self. The first reminder I want to give to you is that God picked messy people. God picked messy people. You go all the way back to the Old Testament. He's picking people to advance his kingdom, and he picks Abraham, right? This guy seems to be put together, and he says, Abraham, you got a soft heart. You want to follow me, and I'm gonna make a nation out of you. You just stick with me, be patient with me, and your offspring is going to eventually create this nation of Israel, right? Well, years went by, and all of a sudden, Abraham, he's getting impatient. He's not trusting God. He's, what's wrong with you, God? I don't know. I want to have some kids. We can't have kids, me and my wife, Sarah. So he just kind of exits God's plans, and he goes and gets his maid servant and has a child from her. And that started a whole giant worldwide dilemma of him being impatient. He messed up. He didn't do well at all. And yet God still said, I'm still going to bless you. And the promise came true of the nation of Israel. Now we step up to Moses, right? He seems to be a winner. He's the prince in Egyptian the kingdom. But one day he loses his temper, right? He just loses it and he lashes out and he kills his Egyptian. And next thing you know, he is coming under arrest for murder. He murdered this guy. He runs for his life. He's chickens out. He goes to the backside of the desert. And that's who God picks to say, hey, Moses, you old guy out there, I'm picking you. I know you killed someone. I know you failed also, but I need you to help lead my people out. Then you go to like King David. Oh, he was a young man. He had a heart after God's own heart, right? He steps up to Goliath and kills Goliath, and he becomes king. Everybody thinks he's got it all together. He's perfect. But later in his life, he's up there in his palace, a little bored, looks over the palace and sees this beautiful woman bathing. Next thing you know, he seduces her. Next thing you know, he impregnates her. Next thing you know, he's in trouble. He's messed up. Now he has to kind of kill her husband, right? He's now in the category of murderer. And these are the people God picked. They're messed up. Are we all kind of messed up to some level? You go to Jesus, right? Now he's going to collect his disciples, people that are going to mentor him. Then who did he pick? Did he pick all the real brilliant, put together, talented, educated, sophisticated, with it people? No. He started picking the little bit of rough people, right? Just uneducated, unsophisticated. A lot of them were fishermen, right? Just blue collar. They don't got much going on, right? You got some misfits like the tax collector. Nobody liked him. You got hot-tempered zealots on his team, right? They're all insecure. You read their story. They're all mad at each other, and they're fearful, and they're inconsistent, betraying, and they're all kind of screwed up, right? But that's who he picked. Then you continue in the Bible. Then he picks the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul used to be Saul. And all the people that God wanted to say, hey, I want to advance the kingdom through this man to take the gospel to the Gentiles, the Mediterranean area, not the Jews, but the Gentile people. He's picking Saul. Do you know who Saul was? Right? Saul was the hater of Christian people. I mean, this guy was an over-the-top, A-type, driven hate monger against Christian. His tradition, his convictions, man, he was finding Christians, he was jailing Christians. Some of them lost their life because of Saul. And then God says, yeah, that's the one I'm picking. I'm picking you. You're messed up, man. And he knocked him off his horse. He has a major conversion. And Saul turns into Apostle Paul, and he starts being this missionary. And people are like, you picked who? Right? That guy, nobody wanted to be around that jerk. And so now we have this Paul's writings in the Bible. So Paul becomes this missionary. He's planting a whole bunch of different churches, and he has to correspond with them. So he's writing letters, and now we have those manuscripts 2,000 years later, and we're hearing his heart. We're hearing his teachings to these different churches, and we're also hearing about his hang-ups. about how he feels about himself. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he starts declaring that his life is so bad that the problems and the issues breaks him down so much that he's even despairing of life. Now, how low do you have to be? How desperate do you have to be that you despaired of life? Isn't this guy the real strong guy? Isn't this the missionary guy? Isn't the guy God picked? And that he's groveling, saying, man, we almost gave up on life. Have you ever came to that point in your life where you're so low and so desperate that you don't even know if you want to carry on? You're despairing of life. That's who God picked. He continues seeing his life in Ephesians. He talks about that where he ranks with the apostles. He's now has the rank of an apostle. He says, man, I'm the least of the apostles. You kidding me? Have you seen my resume, right? I don't deserve to be one of the apostles. I'm the hater. I'm the guy who hated Christ, didn't care, but God picked me. I am the least of these, right? He's probably just a lot of shame, a lot of guilt that's in his head. Maybe he's wrestling with the imposter syndrome, right? I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy. And then we really look into his heart and his mind in chapter 7 of Romans, where he starts confessing just what a loser he is, how inconsistent he is. And so he writes this in chapter 7 of Romans. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. In other words, I want to do what's right. I'm trying to be that Christ follower. But I see another law or another force at work within me, waging war against the law of my mind. Can I suggest to you that a lot of times the war is in our mind, not so much our actions, how we view ourselves, with the self-talk we say to each ourselves, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. And then he says, man, what a wretched man I am. Do you know what the Greek word for wretched means? Idiot. What an idiot I am. I'm trying to be this and I'm not. I'm so messed up. I'm a complete wretched person. I am a complete idiot. Have you ever caught yourself saying that privately to yourself? Man, I'm such a loser. I can't do anything right. I've failed God. I've messed up. I'm so wretched. A lot of times it shows up in our sins and our past. Man, when we did something, before we know it, we hurt someone, we said something, we manipulated something, we embarrassed ourselves, embarrassed other people, and especially offended God. Maybe we partied too hard. Maybe we started looking at stuff that wasn't appropriate. Maybe we said stuff like and hurt it or lie, and before you know it, man, we've sinned. Before we know it, our self-worth is tanking. How we view ourselves is down. What a wretched man I am. Well, maybe this can help us a little bit, that God picked messy people. So welcome to the club if you're messy. God believes in you. Now, what did we do about this? What did Paul do about this? He realizes that he's an idiot. He's not doing well. He's messed up. And it goes on and he gives us a solution. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? In other words, who will rescue me from myself, right? I'm failing. Here he says it. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is right there. The secret sauce, the hope is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you continue to read the Bible, you'll see that Paul starts sharing this gospel. That's why he's on a mission. It's not about his performance. It's not about his resume. It's not even about his failures. It's about this Jesus Christ, this hope. And throughout his epistles or his letters, he shares a lot about this. Now, one of the epistles out there is the book of Hebrews. Now, the scholars are still up for debate who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some scholars says it could very well be Paul. There's a lot of his grammar and his ways in there, but it doesn't really establish it. But in Hebrews, and it could be Paul, he talks about this hope of Jesus Christ who can deliver us. That's our hope. That's the issue. That's the solution. And in chapter 12, there's a famous, powerful passage that talks about this hope of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. So notice there's two things. The sin that so easily entangles us. So pretty soon sin just starts compromising, gripping us, creeping into our soul or mind. And next thing you know, we're doing stuff that we know is not right of God. There is some convictions, there we're crossing some lines, and we know in our soul, man, we have sinned. Now, what's interesting is the writer doesn't just land on sin, but he talks about everything that hinders. That's a second condition. Now, what does that mean? What hinders us? Now, the word hinder originally means encumbered. We're encumbered. Something is weighing us down. Something is burdening us. May I suggest to you that a lot of times, that we got some sin issues, absolutely. But maybe more importantly, we got stuff in our mind and our view of ourself that is weighing us down, that encumbers us, that we see ourselves so wretched. We see ourselves as such an idiot. And a lot of times we are wrestling with secret skeletons, emotional hurts that manifest themselves in insecurities, anxieties, inadequacies. And a lot of times we're telling ourselves, man, we don't deserve this. We're not good enough, especially for God. And I'll never make it. And we're just kind of wallowing around. Last couple of weeks, I was introduced to a writer in a book. And the book is called Worthy by Jamie Kern Lima. And this is what this book's about, Worthy. How to believe you are enough to transform your life. How to believe that you are enough to transform your life. Now, Jamie Kern starts sharing about it. In her life, she never had it much easy. She went through a lot of rejection. She had some ideas, but a lot of times people didn't see her as very successful. She was a waitress at Denny's and just kind of bumping along, and she wasn't very pretty. And she got this idea that she'd make this kind of cosmetic line for just average people like herself, kind of frumpy and average. And so she tries to sell this cosmetic line. Everybody's like, you're crazy. No, that's not going to work. And, you're just not really the poster child of cosmetics and no things like that. Man, just rejection and failure. But she wouldn't quit. And one day, she gets a break. And this thing catches on and catches fire, and it starts growing. And her husband, just on the edge of bankruptcy, all of a sudden, they have some success. In fact, it becomes so successful that one of the largest cosmetic companies in the world came after it, and they sold their line to this cosmetic, and they invited her to be the CEO of this giant corporation. And by the way, we're going to give you $1 billion for your line. It's so popular, and we want your brain. We want your heart to lead our company. And so later, she writes this book called Worthy, How to Believe You Are Enough to Transform Your Life, because she realized that even though she's been through the rejection and all kinds of failures, man, her secret sauce was in the hope of Jesus Christ. And she says in this book, we become what we think we're worthy of. We become what we think we are worthy of. And she goes on to say, a lot of times our self-worth is our ceiling. How we view ourselves as a ceiling. You know, I don't have that degree. Everyone else got that promotion. The other people are more like, so I'll just sit right here, and we get stuck. Before we know it, we have all these thoughts, you know, how we're lower than other people. We might even be asking ourselves, you know, how does God think of myself? He probably doesn't think, because he knew I did this and this happened in my past. And would he even forgive a person like me? I'm messed up. Sometimes we even sabotage ourselves, right, to just keep ourselves stuck because we become what we think we're worthy of. In fact, in her book, Worthy, she asks this question, what has self-doubt already cost you in your life? What has self-doubt, we're like, no, I'm not going to try that. I'm not worthy of that. I'm not good in that. I've failed. What has that cost you in your life? This is why the writer Hebrews talks about the solution of Jesus Christ. And it could be Paul, maybe not, but he says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, life is like a race. It's long, it's arduous, it has some downhills, it has some uphills. Exactly, but he says, hey, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, not your accomplishments, not your failures, not your friends or issues. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Why? Because in Jesus is where we get our worth. This is where the truth is. This is where value is. This is where we're emotional, stable, spiritually stable. And here's what I want you to take home today. If you can remember, one thing is this. Your worth does not come from your mess. Your worth does not come from your mess. Whatever happened to you in your past, whatever they said in middle school, high school, whatever your friends betrayed you or didn't like you or you didn't get that promotion, didn't make that test, your worth doesn't come from that. It comes from Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Because the author of Hebrews 12 says this guy, Jesus, is the author and perfecter of our faith. So the author of our faith is the founder, the starter of our faith. Now, our faith is connected to our soul, and our soul is connected to our mind, right? And our mind is connected to our body. Everything resides in this faith. And he says, I'm the author. I'm the believer in you. I created you. You didn't even know me. You didn't think about me. But I started you in your mother's womb and to make you special. You are unique. Good, bad, and ugly. I'm the creator. And then I'm going to be the perfecter. That word perfecter means finisher. The best way I can describe that is a sculptor, artist, okay? So he has a vision of this glob of clay. He wants to make this beautiful statue or piece of art. It's all smooth and glossy and beautiful. I don't know. We can even think of a statue of Mary or something, right? But the beginning is rough, right? And he's got to start molding it and working it, right? And some things are going to be pulled out. That's not good. And there's a big glob over here. That's got to be sliced off. We got to adjust that. And it's going to take some while. It's going to take some while to finish, to perfect. We're going to have to polish. We're going to take that rough edge off because in his mind, this is going to be beautiful. In our mind, it's all messy. But in God's mind, it's a beautiful mess that he's perfecting and finishing our faith in him. Now, we see this evidence in Paul's later writing, Philippians 1. People are a little discouraged. He says, hey, be confident of this. The thing that God began in you, he is going to complete to the day of Jesus. Sometimes we think God has forgotten us. We think God's not going to complete us. I've just screwed up so much. I don't know. I'm so stubborn, right? But God is going to complete what he started because God's highly invested in you. God is your creator and invested in you and believes in you. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, this Jesus, may I remind you, he is one part of the Trinity, the God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. And this God, this Jesus, is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the creator, and he created you. Even your good, your all your worst and your warts, whatever, he created you. And this God, he is good. He is kind. He is gentle. He is full of truth. And he wants to nurture joy in your life. He is holy. He is righteous. He is mighty. He is pure. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all loving. He's all caring. And yet this Jesus was willing to surrender himself through the agony of the cross. He did not have to come to this world, but he was willing to come to this world and be falsely accused. And eventually he'd be drugged to a Roman cross. And it was a horrific week in his life where people betrayed him. People started crying out, crucify him, crucify him. We hate you, Jesus. They allowed the soldiers to bring him in and they brutally tortured him. They threw that crown of thorns on him and he just was all messed up and ugly looking. He's dripping. They're smacking him. They're spitting on him. They're making fun of him. They're lashing him. His back is torn to shreds. He's just a mess, right? In fact, in Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about this, that he would be scorned, that he would be so despised by men, but they would not be able to look at him because he was so ugly. He was so wretched and messed up through the cross and the thorns. That's exactly what happened. This is the Jesus that did this for you. He was pierced and bruised for our transgressions, and the piercing and the stripes and the agony would bring our healing, would bring our forgiveness of us. Because God knows that we've been hurt, we've been messed up, we carry baggage, we're not perfect, and yet through his imperfection, through his agony is where our healing will come through. This is the writer's like, keep your eyes fixed on him. Other people will come and go. Other people will accuse you and insult you and not invite you. But it's Jesus that will always be there. And his Jesus dispenses his perfect love. His perfect love. Someone said, God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people that will embrace his perfect love. Let me say that again. God's not looking for perfect people, but he's looking for people who embrace his perfect love. I would suggest a lot of times we have not embraced God's perfect love. We're still looking for love out there in the world. And Jesus is like, I'm the guy who went to the cross. I'm the guy that suffered for you. I'm the guy that created you. Believe in me. Embrace my perfect love for you. And this finisher is not going to leave you. He's not going to forget you. He's not going to mislead you. He's not going to forsake you. This finisher is always thinking about you, the Bible says. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. In fact, the Bible says he, believe this or not, he delights in you. He sings over you. You are like his child. How many of you love your children and love them desperately? That's how God believes in us. And when you fall, he picks you up. He's willing to reinstate you. When you're weak, he is your strength. His grace is sufficient. When you're lonely, he will be your comforter and your portion. When we're afraid, he will be by our side to give us strength. And when we need insight, he offers wisdom. And when we have been hurt, he offers comfort and heals us. This is Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I'm the bread of the life. I am the Abba Father. And Jesus said, come to me, all who are heavy laden. That reminds us of Hebrews 12, where he says, these things that hinders us, these things that are heavy for us. It's a lot of times it's our view of our self-worth that hinders us. Come to me, and I will give you rest. In other words, your peace and your value. And you're going to be okay, because it's not in the world. It's not in your accomplishments. It's going to be in me, because your worth is not in your mess. Now, can I add on to this, give you another nugget? Lean into this, okay? There is a difference between self-confidence and self-worth. There's a difference between self-confidence and self-worth. Self-confidence goes up and down, but self-worth can be rock solid through Christ Jesus. So, you know, if you accomplish something and you won something and you got picked or you achieved something, your self-confidence is up. But a lot of times, if you didn't get picked, you didn't get that promotion, you didn't get that sale, you didn't achieve that thing, a lot of times your self-confidence is low. Maybe you were wanting to be asked out by this guy, but the guy asked someone else. Or you were hoping to get an A, but you only got a C. Before you know, your self-confidence is like this, and all of a sudden you attach that to your self-worth. But your self-worth is not in self-confidence. They're different. Self-worth can be in Christ Jesus. One of the best pictures I can give you is a house. So there's a foundation that's made of concrete, right? It's in the ground. It's not painted all beautiful. And then we put the sticks on top of the concrete, make the house. Oh, we paint it this way, and we're going to put a room here. And that stick up here is our confidence. And sometimes things go good. Hey, we got some furniture, added a room. And then sometimes it doesn't go good, right? You know, a storm came by and blew the roof off, or it aged, and it's not leaking or something like that. But that foundation is not going anywhere. The foundation is strong and stable. And I want to encourage you to put your worth not in your confidence. That's going to come and go. I'm going to blow something next week. You're going to probably make a mistake next week, right? But somewhere we can say, yeah, but my worth and how I feel about myself is not in my confidence. I got to work on that, sure. But this is rock solid through Jesus Christ. So this is fix your eyes on Christ Jesus. Now, the third thing, I'd like to remind you to navigate your messy self. My messy self is that Jesus died for your mess. Jesus died for our mess. We call this in the church world grace. Grace is not what we really deserved, but God was willing to say, man, I know you screwed up. I know you can be wretched. I know you can be imperfect, but I'm going to die for your mess. I want to make something beautiful out of your mess. Now, a lot of times we struggle giving grace to ourselves, but we give grace to other people. So, for instance, let's say someone in your school or someone at work is coming in and they're just beating themselves up. Say, man, I just screwed up that presentation. Man, I I got an F on the test. I'm such a loser. What if they said that? Man, I'm such a loser. I hate myself. I'm going nowhere. Nobody likes me. Would you not give them grace? Say, hey, easy. Don't beat yourself up, man. You're better than you think, right? Hopefully you would do that, give it a little grace. But when you screw up, what do you say to yourself? Probably privately, we are like, man, there you go again. See, you'll never amount to anything. That's who you are, right? We sometimes, especially high achievers, can be our highest critic. I should have done more. I could do better. Why didn't I do better? We don't give ourselves grace, but God says, I give you grace. I died for your mess. See, may I submit this to you, that we're all in process. We're all in process. We haven't always made it. Now, Paul, who realizes, man, I'm a wretched man, what am I going to do with myself? Back in Romans 7, we see him in process and improving and how he thinks about himself. And a major leap, we get to Philippians 3, which he says, hey, friends, not that I've already achieved everything, obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal. Okay, he realizes he's still in process, okay? But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, if you get yourself in the Word of God, you'll see right there which Christ took hold of me. It's connecting to his mind. Jesus paid a high price for me. I'm not junk, right? I'm not an idiot. I'm not wretched because Jesus took a hold of me. That means I'm valuable. He didn't go all the way to the cross for me to be crawling around thinking I'm a loser and I'm not going to do anything that takes a risk or feel good about myself. He paid a high price for me. He took a hold of me. Therefore, even though I haven't reached everything, I'm going to press on. Now, that word press means I'm a journey on. I'm going to keep processing, progressing. So we're all in process. So if there's someone in your family that's screwing up, give them a break a little bit, right? And say, oh, they're in process too, just like me. In fact, why don't you turn to the person next to you and tell them, you're in process. I know you're in process. Do that, okay? All right, and by the way, tell yourself, I'm in process. I don't always have it together either, but at least the perfection comes from our journey that we want to continue to reach our best for Christ, even though we got some roughness. But Hebrews says he's a finisher. See, many times we focus on our badness rather than God's goodness. We focus on God's, our badness. Oh man, there I go again. And then God's like, yeah, but focus on my goodness, my grace for you. Yes, lean into me, listen to me, and things are going to get better. You're going to improve on this. A lot of times we have a lot of shame and guilt. And yet Romans 8 tells us now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A lot of times Christians are walking around with condemnation because the evil one wants to trip us up with guilt and shame and said, oh, you're not that perfect. But the truth of it is, I'm not under condemnation. I'm in Christ Jesus. I've asked him to come into my heart. He went to the cross for me to live free in him. Now, sometimes we need to be under condemnation because we purposely just went against God's laws and ways. And we did our own thing. And the Holy Spirit loves us so much that he's going to say, hey, man, you're convicted over that. You're going to have to release that. You're going to have to confess that and repent of that for me to that sweeping love of my perfect love to atone for your sins. It is true. A lot of times we can be like that kid with spaghetti all over our face. Sometimes we say things and do things, and man, we just step in it. Sometimes we're not thinking and we cross lines spiritually. Maybe it was at that party. Maybe it was in that conversation. Maybe it was when we were all by ourselves and we know we're guilty. But Christ says, man, I see beauty in your mess. So my friends, I'd like for you to remember this. And if you had one thing to take home today, it would be this. Your worth does not come from your mess. In fact, I'd write that down. You're welcome to take a picture up there. And remember that, maybe put that in your mirror to say, man, my worth is not in my accomplishments, my self-confidence. This week it's down, next week it might be, but my worth can be all about who Jesus sees in me and died on the cross for me. So this Hillary Scott, she continues in the song on national audience about beautifully messy. And this is what she says in the second verse. Even at my worst, to him, we ain't lost causes. Just beautiful messes. We're all Davids. We're all Marys. We've been liars, thieves, everything between. But don't forget God uses misfits just like us, she sings, to do the most amazing things. So bring your faults, bring your flaws, bring your secrets, and watch him use those broken pieces, because we ain't perfect. No, we ain't even close. We got holes in our hearts. We got scars we don't show. And then she sings this. This is the chorus. So lay it down at the foot of the cross. This is on a secular channel. This is going throughout the whole nation. Give it to the one who can carry it all. Even at our worst, to him, we ain't lost causes. Just beautiful messes. My friends, someone here, maybe online, need to hear this message. That you've been kicking yourself. You've been looking at yourself not worthy. Maybe you made some mistakes. Maybe there's some oppression happening in your life. And we're like, man, I'm not worth it. I got nothing. And this message, God's like, comfort, share this. They're worth it. It's not in your mess. We're all messed up to some degree. But God loves you. Live in freedom. Live in your identity. Live in that basement that, man, this can come and go and people in bigger house and stuff. But this is who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm living on that foundation. My self-worth is not in my mess, but in Christ Jesus. Some of you need a new start. God has been after you. God has been speaking to you. Maybe you've been coming to Faithbrook for a little bit and you've been kind of investigating and kind of knowing about Jesus, maybe appreciating Jesus, but you've never really said, you know, I need Jesus in my heart. I've never made a spiritual decision to say, Jesus, I invite you into my life by faith. And to do that, we have to confess the ugliness, the sin. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. You know my messiness. You know my mind. I give it all to you. And by faith, I want to invite you in. You've never done that. You've been hanging around. Maybe people see you as religious, but you've been on the outside. And this morning, in this message, God wants you to cross that line. That's coming to your heart. So I'm going to ask everyone to say a prayer with me out loud. I'm going to say these words, and then I invite you to repent or repeat them. If you're watching online, you're welcome to do this privately in your mind, and just repeat these words. And if this resonates with you, if what I say can be your prayer, it's like, yes, then receive that. All right? So help me out. After I say these words, you repeat them. Let's pray. Father, I realize I am a mess. Father, I realize I am a mess. I know where and when I messed up. I know where and when I messed up. You know my baggage. You know my baggage. You know my thoughts. You know my thoughts. I need a fresh start. I need a fresh start. I confess my sins and mess to you. I confess my sins and mess to you. Forgive me and take me. Forgive me and take me. Heal me and use me. Heal me and use me. I receive your healing and forgiveness by faith. I receive your healing and forgiveness by faith. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that my worth is more than my mess. Thank you that my worth is more than my mess. I commit to walking with you and your ways. I commit to walking with you and your ways with all of my heart, with all of my heart. Gracious Jesus, thank you that you did not turn away from our messes. Thank you that you went to the cross for all our warts and problems and doubts and issues and insecurities and harm, that you went to that cross. You did not turn away and you died. I believe there are people here, God, that needed that prayer and said that prayer. And you tell us, God, that if we confess our sins, that we can trust you to forgive them and cleanse us and heal us from all our iniquities. We thank you for that promise. And I pray that your spirit may witness to people who invited you in for the first time, maybe in a long time. I pray for that Christian follower that's been doubting themselves. They're kind of stuck at the ceiling of if they think they're worthy enough. It's not about us, not about our accomplishments. It's by you, that you see us worthy, that you died for us. We thank you for that. And friends, I want to remind you that God picked messy people, so welcome to the club. I want to remind you that God died for our messiness and that our worth is not from our messiness.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. If you're newer here at Faithbrook, we'd love the opportunity to connect with you and hear your story. To connect beyond listening today, we'd love for you to join us in person, or if you would please go to faithbrook.church/connect, fill out that form, and one of our staff will reach out to you soon. God bless and have a great day.